Welcome to episode number 210.
It's time for the RV Podcast. Traveling North America in an RV. Exploring, camping, boondocking, embracing the RV lifestyle, and sharing tips on where to go and how to keep things running right. Here's award-winning journalist Mike Wendland and his network of RV reporters.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast. My name is Mike Wendland, and in a minute you'll meet my lifelong traveling companion, Jennifer, as we talk about the latest in RV news. And no matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you are just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this show is for you, because here we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome. We're honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, the big story this week, and we mean the, and we mean big, is the purchase of the Erwin-Heimer Group of Europe and North America by Thor Industries, based in the U.S. Thor, which already is the biggest RV company in North America, and by making this purchase, which will also include the sale of Road Trek motorhomes, Thor will become the largest RV company in the world, with more than 24 brands, RV brands, probably a lot more about ready to come out there. And in this week's episode that's coming up in our News of the Week segment, I'm going to talk about this $2.45 billion deal, and I'm going to explain what this means to the RV community as a whole, and especially those who own a Road Trek or a Heimer of North American model. Also this week, we have lots more news. We've got your questions and answers, some apps we're going to suggest that will help you with your road trips, and we have a great off-the-beaten-path report as well. But as I promised, my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer, hello, my dear.
Hello, my Michael.
Hey, before we get going, let me pass along a programming note. The You Are Never Too Old segment about RVing that we had promoted in our newsletter and on Sunday night during our Ask Us Anything RV Lifestyle broadcast on YouTube, that won't be airing this week. That is because of this, the magnitude of this Thor plan to purchase Road Trek's parent company. This is breaking news that is breaking even as we're recording this podcast. And so we felt we should devote an extended period of time discussing this and giving you some insight into it. But never fear, that segment and an interview with an incredible 87-year-old RVer will be coming up in just a couple of weeks. And we'll get to that Thor-Heimer deal in our News of the Week segment in a few minutes, so stick around for that. But meantime, we are just back from the Hershey RV Show in Hershey, Pennsylvania, known as America's largest RV show. And we'll have a full video report on that coming up tomorrow on Thursday.
It was so great to meet so many of our fans and followers. We felt like celebrities there. Everywhere we went, people were recognizing us and sharing their love of the RV lifestyle. We were overwhelmed with the kind words and encouragement and had a ball meeting so many people. I had Mike video many of them so they can share their excitement about this lifestyle and inspire our entire audience. But it was a great show. They had just under 60,000 in attendance that week, and we walked miles looking at new RVs. The show occupied more than 3 football fields and had over 1,400 new RVs of every shape and size and form on display.
I swear, you had me going in just about every one of them. Like I said, we had a really nice video that I'll be frantically preparing all the rest of today that will go out on our regular Thursday video on the RV Lifestyle channel on YouTube. But we had so much fun. We did. So next, we head to Elkhart, Indiana, which is the RV capital of America. That's where almost all of the RVs sold in North America, with a few exceptions, are made in Elkhart, or the environs, nearby environs. And in fact, next week's podcast is going to originate from there. We'll be recording it from Elkhart. We're there in Elkhart next week to attend the RV dealer open house. Now, that is not open to the public, but it is open to RV dealers and salespeople. It's when all of the major RV manufacturers invite people onto their factory parking lots or all over Elkhart. They have displays there. Many of them use the Elkhart event to introduce new products and new innovations. So it is a big deal, a major event for the RV industry. So we think we need to be there too, and we will be, and we will be reporting it to you on next week's podcast, and I'm sure we'll have a video, and we might even do something live from when we're out there.
A couple of episodes back on episode 208, we talked about how the RV lifestyle cannot be healthy for us because we often sit too much and eat too much. Mike interviewed a weight loss expert and decided then and there to be on a get healthy eating program. He shared his progress at 7 p.m. every Sunday night on our Ask Us Anything live broadcast on YouTube. But since that healthy eating program started on this podcast, I think Mike should give a short progress report right now.
Aha. Well, we kind of use that Sunday night thing to give everybody the latest news, the weekly update. But I can say it's been very good. I am down 11 pounds from where I was when we recorded that segment 2 weeks ago. And it's a pretty easy program, basically consisting of lean meats and clean protein, you know, grass-fed stuff. Organic foods as much as possible, limiting sugars and
carbs.
How
about no sugar?
Yeah, no sugars. None. And I got to say, we were a little worried, were we not, how it would be for me sticking to that program on the road. And since I started, I mean, we started it, and no sooner did we start than we were on the road. We went to Algonquin Provincial Park up in Canada in Ontario. Right after I started it, and that was our road trekking gathering up there. And then we rushed home from that last week and immediately jumped in the, we unloaded the RV, dropped off Bo at our daughter's because there was no place for him at the Hershey RV show. And then we drove one way, 530 miles to Hershey and attended that all week. So we were really wondering, you know, because it's really hard to eat on the road, isn't it? Most of the restaurants out there, you know, they just they don't have good food. You ask them for special stuff and they don't like to do that. Now the good ones do, the expensive ones. But anyway, we though had our own kitchen with us because we traveled in our road trek, and so we had packed the supply of the food we needed, and it was pretty easy to do our own meal prep right in the RV and then be sure that I was eating properly.
And that is so true. Instead of fast food at the RV show, we just went out to our RV in the parking lot, turned on the AC, and I was able to fix everything. I don't know what we would have done if we hadn't had our RV. Because most restaurants use sugar and heaps of carbs, and it's really hard to try to eat correctly on the road unless you make your own food.
Yeah, we ate at a steakhouse, a kind of a family steakhouse, not a real fancy one, and that was okay on the way there. And then we went into town and we ate
at a
really fancy steakhouse. And you know, the waiter, oh, yeah, we'll special
we
prepare.
We explained the no sugar.
Well, you know, this was the big no-no, no sugar. So then what does he do? He brings me out this wonderful steak.
It was a great steak, a little filet mignon smothered in wine sauce.
Yeah, some special sauce that they're proud of. And I said, hey, what's this? And he said, oh, there's no sugar in it. It was just, you know, a little Worcestershire, a little of this, and wine. Well, wine is sugar. So that was kind of
depressing because you're trying so hard.
Yeah, but we stayed to it. I mean, I came back and I had lost I think a pound and a half since I had gone. So all that is good, and we'll see how this program goes. But, you know, it's basically a lifestyle change that we're
And it taught us to communicate better. The next night we went out, we just looked him, we gave him a challenge.
We gave the waiter, yeah.
We gave the waiter a challenge. We said, we're going to be difficult. We're giving you a challenge. And he took up the challenge. He liked it. Yep. The chef even came out to make sure that we were happy.
The chef was delighted to have something a little different that he was doing. So we had fun. And we were able to eat right. I don't have any sugar cravings. Those are gone.
But now you're eating right. I'm eating bad. Psychologically, I always kind of like panic when you're on a diet because I had a sundae, a chocolate hot fudge sundae in the middle of the afternoon, which I never do that.
You had a DQ at one of the rest stops on the Ohio Turnpike.
I was bad.
Oh, yeah, but all they have to do is look at you and they know you don't have to worry about that.
Well, I shouldn't be eating that stuff.
But anyway,
it's just a psychological thing.
There's 11 pounds less of me this week than there was last week. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, an electric bike manufacturer offering direct-to-consumer pricing and powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping and a special discount to listeners of this podcast. We had a great time with the folks at Rad Power Bike last weekend. They were demonstrating their bikes and exhibiting them at the Hershey RV Show because it's turning out that RVers are a major buying segment for the electric bike industry. Rad Power Bikes is a leader in that industry. They're a consumer direct brand. You get a premium electric bike. You don't have to pay the huge markups caused by dealers and third-party retailers because you deal directly with them. And so, as they were explaining to everybody at Hershey, they're priced at often less than half the cost of comparable bikes in the market because that retail dealer markup chain's cut out. They have a bunch of different bike models from fat tires to folding bikes. So we, Jennifer and I, have the city bike model. Mine is kind of like a beach cruiser style. And Jennifer's is what we used to call girls' bikes. Doesn't have that center crossbar that you have to swing your leg over. You just kind of step through. So her step-through model is now marketed for everybody. And it seems like everybody we let drive ours seems to prefer yours better. It's just a little less work to operate. The whole thing with all their bikes, all the Rad Power bikes, is you get the most powerful motor an e-bike can have. That's 750 watts of power. You can maintain a street legal status. That means you don't need any license to drive it. You can ride it anywhere. You can ride a bicycle. All of their models can reach 20 miles per hour with zero pedaling. Isn't that amazing? And you can go between 20 and 40 miles on a single charge. Now, if you pedal, you'll go even faster and you'll even go further because the nice thing about Rad Power Bikes is you actually are a participant. You're not just sitting there. It's not a motorcycle. It's not a motor scooter. You actually pedal. It's a bicycle and it's got that little engine on it to give you an assist when you ask for it. So here's the deal. I mentioned free shipping. They're very easy. It takes you about 10 minutes to put one together. Very simple, clear-cut instructions. But if you order from radpowerbikes.com and in the promo code box, you enter the words road trekking, you will get $75 off. Check the show notes for this episode and you'll see a link to a video of the bikes that Jennifer and I have and how we use them. But check them out yourself. Radpowerbikes.com.
News. Mike's got news. RV news. Travel news. Inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
All right. This is a huge RV industry story, and it's been breaking all day today as we record this podcast on September 18th, 2018. Although we have been reporting on the possibility of this for several weeks now, but now it is official. Thor Industries Incorporated, based in Elkhart, Indiana, and the shareholders of the Erwin-Heimer Group, based in Germany, announced that they have entered into a definitive agreement for Thor to acquire the Erwin-Heimer Group. And Erwin-Heimer is a privately held European-based international company. So they will end up, Thor will, with an enterprise with the Erwin-Heimer holdings in Europe and in North America, with a company that has a value of $2.45 billion. It's a big deal. Now, just to help you understand who we're all talking about, Heimer bought Road Trek Motorhomes of Kitchener, Ontario, about 2.5 years ago. And they then formed a new company under the Hymer umbrella. They formed the Irwin Hymer Group of North America, a separate company. And that is the company that now builds road treks. And also, as they built a new factory as well in nearby Cambridge, Ontario, they build Hymer-branded Class B camper vans and ultra-lightweight European-style towable trailers, which are getting a great reception in North America. So in terms of RV world impact, this acquisition will make Thor the world's largest RV manufacturer with the leading position in both North America and Europe. And then it establishes a global sales and production footprint for the company that is absolutely immense in scope. Let me give you a sketch of how big this Thor empire now will be. Consider this. Right now, Thor owns the following well-known brands. There are 18 of them if you count them all up. Airstream, Integra Coach Class A's, Heartland RV, Jayco RV, Bison Coach, Crossroad Fifth Wheels, Cruiser, a bunch of towables, very high-end fifth wheels from a company called DRV, and Dutchman, which in turn builds branded towables under the name Aerolite, Aspen Trail, Coleman, Denali, Dutchman, Kodiak, Razorback, and Rubicon, and also Voltage. Those are almost all trailers. They also own the Highland Ridge fifth wheels and towables, Keystone RVs, and KZ towables. So you can see why Thor was the largest in the U.S., is the largest in the U.S. right now. So now, though, you can add to that all of the associated Road Trek motorhome and Hymer brands in Europe and North America. And in North America, those also include Sunlight, Corrado, Ereba, and some more. And more brands are planned, as a matter of fact. So that is how big they are. It's more than 24 brands right now. So what does this mean? That's how big they'll be after this deal goes through. 24 brands. So what does this mean now to current Road Trek or Hymer customers? Or how about to those who have been considering buying one of their brands? Well, it means nothing. Things will go on just as they have, says the company. The same people will lead those companies, including Jim Hamill, who's the CEO of Road Trek, president and CEO of Road Trek, and the Irwin Hymer Group of North America. And Jim, of course, is very well known to the RV community of North America for, one, being very accessible, and for his involvement in the RV lifestyle community. Jim told me by email, and then he has also now sent out a letter that I just posted it in our Facebook group, a letter sent to customers, that he thinks that this is a great situation for Road Trek and Hymer of North America. Specifically, he talked about Thor's decentralized entrepreneurial business model, which I think has kind of been the hallmark of Jim's personal leadership style. It has been widely known now for a couple of months that the Hymer family members were open to selling the company, and they had several suitors, including Thor. They got some attention in the press. According to Bob Martin, who is the Thor CEO, he did a conference call today, or yesterday, really, September 18th, as this episode comes out on the 19th. He did a conference call the morning of the 18th of September with investors. And one of the key factors he said in the decision to sell by the Hymer family in Europe was the way that Thor had handled the acquisition of Jayco, another huge RV company, and they bought that a couple of years ago. We looked at Hymer as being very similar to Jayco. It was very important to the family to know that the legacy in the name of Irwin Hymer could continue, Martin said. Hymer has the number one brand recognition in Europe with a family legacy, and the family, said Martin, really wanted to turn the company over to someone that they felt very comfortable with carrying on their legacy. And so that's where a lot of the meetings were about between Thor and Hymer in Europe. It was, he says, Martin says, less about price, more about the cultural fit. He notes that he says Thor here in the U.S. has a proven track record of that. And he said that's where I think for the family, that's where it hit home. Martin stressed that like its North American-based subsidiaries, Hymer would operate autonomously with its own management firms. Christian Hymer, who is the son of the late founder Erwin Hymer and a member of the Erwin Hymer Group Supervisory Board, he said, and I'm quoting him, he said, "With Thor Industries, our family has found the ideal new owner partner for the Erwin Hymer Group to successfully continue on its long-term growth and internationalization path. Thor Industries and the Erwin Hymer Group are cut from the same cloth," said Christian Hymer. He said, "In their philosophy, they bear the same stamp as their founders. They have an entrepreneurial mindset, a spirit of innovation, and quality leadership, top priorities for both groups." So Thor says going forward, once this deal is finalized, there will be a sharing of best practices among all of their properties, including Road Trek and the Hymer North American operation, in such things as production methods and streamlined operations that will provide major benefits in design, engineering, and manufacturing excellence. Another quote from Martin, he said, "Knowledge sharing and R&D, research and development, will accelerate development of technology, innovation, and ensure new technology or features are rapidly adopted in North America and Europe." So the bottom line, what does this mean? What does that mean for people who own a Road Trek or a Hymer product or from North America or have one ordered or maybe you're planning to do so? Well, I've spent a lot of time talking to my Road Trek and Hymer sources today, on and off the record. And overall, the answer to that question is that nothing will change in day-to-day operations. They tell me that the six-year warranties from Road Trek will continue, that new models, they've got other new models, some really cool things that I can't talk about. I don't even think I'm supposed to know, but I'm a good reporter. I found out about them. But new models I know are in the pipeline, and they will keep being made, and dealers and customers will be getting everything they've ordered. Consumers should see absolutely no change, says everybody I talk to at the companies. And if anything, faster production, continued innovation, an increase in innovation, and as I said, coming up, you'll hear about it fairly soon, new models and styles. Now, I've already said that existing top management will stay in place. That I can also say there will be no plant closings, no job cuts. In fact, just the opposite. Road Trek and the North American Hymer brand will continue to grow with new products, new innovations, new lines. And I think Jim Hamill sums it up best. He says, "We are the same great company today as we have always been. We're not going to change our formula, as it's that formula, great people and great innovative products, that made us so desirable for someone to acquire us." All right. So there you go. That is the official word and the unofficial word, as we've been able to discern through our reporting, of what this Thor purchase of Road Trek and Hymer of North America's parent company means. It's supposed to be all great, and we will keep on top of it, and we'll watch it. It is a big story, and you heard about it all here. All right. Now, on to some more news. Seems like animals were making a lot of the RV news this week.
If you are anywhere near Ontario's Point Pelee National Park between now and mid-October, be sure to stop by to see thousands of monarch butterflies as they stop on their way to Mexico. The Canadian park is on a strip of land that reaches into Lake Erie and is a favorite resting spot for migrating birds. But what makes it truly unique this time of year are the monarch butterflies, which descend by the thousands, often waiting on this last bit of land for the weather to be just right before they take off over the water.
Now, we will put a link to more on that and some pictures in the show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/210. And you can see it. That's not that far from our Sticks and Bricks, Michigan home.
I know it. We need to go there.
It's probably about 75, 80 miles from us. Yeah.
It's too close.
Yeah, it's too close. We're not going. Well, I don't know how we...
It's not 700 miles. We don't
want to go. Yeah, 700 miles in one day. That's kind of like... Well, We did. We drove, I mean, it was 400 insane. And something down from Algonquin in one day, and then the next day, 525 to Hershey, and then Sunday, 530 back here. No wonder we're tired today. And then I had to spend the whole day reporting this Hymer thing, this Hymer bomb.
No, I didn't. I went and got a deep tissue massage, and everything's working right after all that sitting.
Well, I'm going to need one.
Yeah.
Or a nap. Maybe a nap. I think that sounds
pretty
better.
Good, too.
All right, back to the news of the weekend. I said it's all about animals this week. Did you see the pictures? Oh, these were precious. I don't believe I said something was precious. But anyway, did you see the pictures of the blindfolded and bound mountain goats dangling through the air while they were being airlifted by helicopter from Washington's Olympic National Park? It was quite the sight. The mountain goats were brought to Olympic, turns out, back in the 1920s, and they're not a native species, but they've become a problem, destroying the vegetation and kind of the ecosystem. So they've also become aggressive towards humans. In 2010, there was a man who was literally gored to death by them. So it's a serious thing.
Yeah.
The goats are actually native to the North Cascades, about 100 miles away. And so plans have been in the works for years to transfer, and that started. Several hundred of them are being moved, and some of them by airlifts. And we'll put links again in the show notes, and you can see this for yourself, roadtrekking.com/210.
Officials with the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife are waiting for test results to see if a cougar shot last weekend was the same cougar who killed a woman hiking in the state's Mount Hood National Forest. Cougar attacks are very rare, and last week's death was believed to be the first cougar causing death in the state.
Now, again, links on that, too, and particularly links on what you should do if you come across the cougar while you're out hiking. We'll have links on that. roadtrekking.com/210. All right, one more animal story. This continues along. It's at Yellowstone. It happened at Yellowstone National Park. And again, this is that same problem. People getting too close to wildlife. This time, two bull elk were kind of sparring, fighting over a cow. And so a crowd formed to watch, and one of the bulls seemed to be concerned that his cows were separated from him, so he ran through the crowd, and he charged one of the men who was watching to get to his cows. The man didn't appear to be seriously injured, but he was knocked down. There's video of it. Yellowstone officials require people to stay 25 feet away from large animals like elk and 100 feet away from bears. We'll put links to all that coverage there. But, you know, that happened at Mammoth Park. And I think what happens, there's this huge elk herd that lives there. And if you've ever been to Yellowstone and Mammoth Park, Mammoth Springs, I'm sorry, at the park there, it's kind of like it's developed, you know, there's a big restaurant and a hotel and some gift shops. And it's kind of laid out like a city square. And so people don't think that there's wild animals there, but there are, and there's a lot of incidents of elk damaging cars, and we've seen them.
People think these are Disney animals. I mean, this is very peculiar, all these people and these wild animals,
and we see this over and over
and
again.
It's mating time. Keep your distance,
get smart. All right, that is the RV news of the week, and this part of the program is brought to you by our three favorite tools for finding places to stay. I gotta say that one of the big disappointments new RVers have, and they find it very quickly, often on their first or second time out, is finding a place to camp. They immediately go to a campground, or whether it's a state campground or national forest campground, or if it's a commercial campground, and they find themselves in a very crowded conditions, you know, under, you know, camping between big RVs and lots of people and congestion. And is this why we spend all this money in an RV? Well, you don't have to camp that way. Now, you know, Jennifer and I keep talking about boondocking, how much we love boondocking. Hey, here's a programming note. I've got a boondocking e-guide. We've really been working hard on that. It's really going to be neat. Coming out in a few weeks. So I'll tell you about it. Maybe next week, maybe the week after it'll be done. Keep finding new stuff to add. But anyway, we spend a lot of time boondocking, but we seldom stay at commercial campgrounds. Where we like to stay are at the through using three different services we have. Let me tell you what the first one is called, All Stays Pro. Now, this is an incredibly handy tool for RVers looking for places to camp with this great database of all the campgrounds around, the Walmarts you can camp in if you have to, the places where you can dump your RV tanks, places that you might not even know exist. They've got a huge database. And because you can use it browser-based, it's not necessarily an app that you would install. You'd use your tablet or your computer, and it's up-to-date, constantly updated. All Stays Pro. So remember that. And the next one is Harvest Hosts at the RV Showdown in out in Pennsylvania this week. We heard so many people say, oh, I'm so glad to hear about Harvest Hosts. Thank you for telling us about that. Well, Harvest Hosts is a very unique, it's a membership service that allows its members to stay free overnight at wineries, at farms, at attractions all across North America. Really unique spots. You can stay for free. You got to be a member of Harvest Hosts, but it really gives you great spots to stay. And then the other service we use is called Overnight RV Camping. This is a subscription service, and it provides details on over 12,000 free or nearly free RV overnight parking locations. So I have a link in the show notes, you can find it, of all three services. And the reason I pass this along is because they are big supporters of our podcast here. They like our community, and so they have offered greatly discounted rates to listeners of the podcast. You got to get to those sites through the links that we have, but you'll save some money. Take a look, join one, join two, join all three of them, but we can save you some money. So check all that out in our show notes for this episode, which is roadtrekking.com/210.
Questions?
You've got them.
Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers.
Here's one of our questions of the week.
How do you secure your dog in a seatbelt in the camper?
How do we secure Bo in a seatbelt? I can see where people would be confused by that. You can't put a seatbelt on him like you do a person.
You haven't posted any pictures about the little harness?
We did a video, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'll put a link to that.
A step by step.
It's a safety. You have to put a harness on the dog,
right?
And then that attaches to a special, kind of like a leash that attaches to the seatbelt. So there's the seatbelt, and then there's kind of a leash that attaches to it, and then that leash attaches to a harness. I will put a link to a recent bow on the road video that we did on our YouTube RV Lifestyle channel, in which we put Bo in it, and you see exactly how it works. But essentially, you got to have not just the seat, you have the car seat belt, then the leash, and then a safety harness. Our stuff came from a company called the Mighty Paw, and their safety belt uses the same specs for securing child car seats. And you can directly connect it to the frame of the vehicle for great security. It's available online. I'll put a link to that. And we looked at other models out there, but because other dog seatbelt systems can easily be released by your dog stepping on the buckle button or something, that won't happen with the Mighty Paw one that we got. And also keep in mind that many states now require dogs to be in a crate or on a leash while they're in the vehicle. So if you get pulled over without either, then there's an annoying ticket you got to deal with. So for your dog's safety, this seat belt should be attached to a safety harness versus directly to your dog's collar. It's much safer for your dog, especially in an accident. And we'll show, there's links to that video that you can see how it works with Bo. But it takes some getting used to. Bo did not want that at first. I had to struggle with him.
I'm picturing Bo in a baby seat.
Yeah, I don't
think he's too big for a baby seat.
He's too big for a baby seat. But you can look at the video. The video says it all much better than all those words I just used. Okay, an email this week comes. This is from a reader named Barbara, and she says, we are heading from Virginia to Phoenix tomorrow. I got this email this morning, so that's why I'm answering it right now. And we're wondering what you have found to be the latest best apps or website for weather, like and flooding on roads, road closure information. Thanks in advance. We love your newsletter. Thank you, Barbara. Well, we use apps pretty extensively, and there are a gazillion apps out there for weather particularly. It's one of the more popular ones, and everybody seems to have a favorite, but I'm just going to tell you my favorites, and if you've got a favorite, that's great, but I would urge you, Barbara, to get two weather apps. The first one is called My Radar. It's all one word, My Radar. I'll put links to these on the show notes. My Radar is hands down the best weather app that you can find if you want to know what the weather is coming your way. You can see where it is, how long it's going to get to you, what it looks like, you know, along your route. It tracks storms. It gives you access to high-def radar. You can get NOAA weather alerts with it. It is just a great app and extremely fast way to get an overall at-a-glance check on potential precipitation headed your way or a storm. My Radar is free, works on all the platforms. So that's what I first would recommend. The second one is the, kind of a forecasting app. It's called AccuWeather, and I'll put a link. That's my favorite. I've tried all of them. Really, I've tried 35 weather apps, and this remains my favorite for checking weather forecast. I can set whatever location I want, and it will show the forecast. It's also free, and it works on every platform, too. And then the third app is for keeping track of driving conditions. It's called Waze, W-A-Z-E. It shows you what the road conditions are like, if there's any accidents, if there's construction. And you know how sometimes that construction just sets up that day with no advance notice. Your GPS might not have any notice of it, but Waze will tell you. It tells you about traffic jams up to date as they happen almost on the route you're traveling. It's very current because it's what they call crowdsourced. In other words, other drivers who have that app in whatever area you are traveling through are updating it according to what they're seeing and what they're experiencing. So you have like real-time traffic and road information. Now, there are a whole... I know there's a whole bunch of other apps. And what I'm going to do is with the links for these three that I just shared, I will put out a review that came across that I thought was pretty helpful that lists a bunch of other road trip type apps that you might want to have. So hopefully that will happen and you'll be able to get exactly what you need for that trip you're starting.
Want to be part of the podcast?
Ask a question? Leave a comment? Click the leave voicemail button on the right side of the RVpodcast.com blog.
We welcome listener voices and love your questions.
This part of the podcast sponsored by Steinbring Motor Coach up in Garfield, Minnesota. Third generation family business. They're located in the beautiful Minnesota area, Chain of Lakes region. Boy, is that a beautiful place to visit every autumn. Steinbring is built on quality motorhomes and excellent pricing and service. I interviewed a very respected expert in the RV industry. I'm not going to say his name. He'll be in that video I do tomorrow. But I asked him what's his single piece of advice. This is at the Hershey Show this week. I said, when people are buying from an RV dealer, what should you do? And he said, you want something that is family-owned or locally owned as best as you can. And boy, that describes family, the Steinbring family. They've been in the transportation industry up there in Garfield since 1917, 101 years. They've been selling RVs almost since there were RVs, decades of experience in the recreation vehicle. That's the family name out front. And that's what this expert I interviewed was saying. When it's the family name at stake, they treat you right. And I think that is so true. This is a third generation family business. They are consistently named a blue ribbon dealer by all the publications, a top dealer. They specialize in brand new Newmar Class A motorhomes. You should see the technology that Newmar has, by the way, for 2019. Man, give a call to Steinbring. Talk to Rich about those things. They also sell brand new Class Bs from Road Trek and from Hymer. They've got a lot of previously owned coaches, a lot of Class A's from different areas, from Itasca, Winnebago, Tiffin, Fleetwood, Holiday Rambler, Monaco. They've got lots and lots, Class A's, Class B's, Class C's, diesel pushers, gas, toy haulers. You'll find what you're looking for at Steinbrinks at an affordable price with great service and straight up honesty as they deal with you. Award-winning sales, award-winning services. You check them out. Steinbrink Motor Coach, and please tell them you heard about it on the RV Podcast.
Traveling with technology. It's time now for our RV Tech Tip of the Week.
All right, to help us with our Tech Tip of the Week, let's go to our pal, Andy Choi from Verizon Wireless.
Hey, Mike. Summer's just about over. Students are back in school. Football season is in full swing. But let's not forget, it's an exciting time for new tech with some hot new devices released for your enjoyment. So let's dial into Verizon's latest and greatest phones. First, there's the Moto Z3 by Motorola, also known as the world's first 5G upgradable smartphone. The Moto Z3 will be the first phone to run on Verizon's 5G network when paired with that 5G Moto mod, the mod set for release at a later date. With up to 10 times the speed of today's technology, you won't have to worry about live streaming sports or downloading movies. Not to mention, the Moto Z3 is compatible with previous mod attachments, such as the InstaShare projector and the JBL speaker mods. If you're all about taking notes with your phone, how about Samsung's Galaxy Note 9? The Note 9's new S Pen boasts improved accuracy for taking notes and Bluetooth functionality, allowing you to remotely control and listen to audio recordings of your favorite jams. The device's upgraded dual aperture system and improved battery life will allow users to capture the best photos and videos in any situation without having to worry about a total loss of power. Of course, we couldn't forget our friends at Apple with the recent release of the iPhone XS and the iPhone XS Max. Featuring 5.8-inch and 6.5-inch Super Retina displays with 60% greater dynamic range in HDR photos. The XS and the XS Max bring an improved dual camera system, an 812 Bionic chip with next-generation neural engine, faster Face ID, wider stereo sound, and longer battery life, and splash and water resistance. Both iPhones will be available in stores starting September 21st. For more information on these or more great devices, head to VerizonWireless.com. With this week's traveling technology tip, I'm Andy Choi with Verizon.
All right, thank you, Andy. The iPhone XS Max. By the way, you have the iPhone X. Do you call it the 10 or the X? iPhone 10 or the 10X?
I call it the 10.
Very good. You can tell them. The slick geeks, because we call it the 10 instead of the X.
Should I call it the X?
Should call it the 10. It's the 10. Okay. You know, Roman numeral 10. It's really funny. It's probably 50-50. Half of them call it the X, but it's the 10. And I ordered the new iPhone XS. I almost said XS. The XS Max, which has that big 6.5-inch display. I'm hooked on the Apple system. I've got all my stuff as Apple, our computers, our tablets, our phones. And so we're all kind of linked and synced together. You can do the same thing with Android. I don't disparage Android users at all. In fact, you got a lot of features that Apple doesn't even think about yet, or they won't until next year. But we like our Apple system, and I'm anxious to get my hands on this. Now I got to get rid of my old phone.
I'm sure you won't have any problem getting rid of it.
Yeah, you're not even giving me any grief for ordering that.
I didn't know you did.
I did it one night when you were in sleep when I was at Hershey, because that was the first night you could order it. I stayed up late and ordered it.
Well, I remember the first one you got.
Yeah.
You spent the night there waiting for the store to open.
Well, I was working, I still do a weekly technology piece for NBC. And when the iPhone came out 10 years ago now, the very first time it was being released, it would go on sale on a Friday night. It was going to go be released at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So lines across the country formed. People were camping out. So I went, and I actually camped out the night before one of the stores. And I was doing live reports for a television station at the time. And we timed ours such that I was able to buy mine, and it was time stamped at 6 o'clock and I think 4 seconds. I was the first retail sale. Actually, they kind of did all the paperwork ahead of time for me, but we did it live on television as I handed them my credit card, and it was run through at 6 o'clock and 4 seconds, and we went live with that. So
too bad we didn't have a road trek then.
Yes, we could have slept in the road trek then.
Yeah,
that was fun. So anyway, I've got had all the different iPhones, and I've got Android too. I have an Android phone, and I like it a lot, but I'm kind of hooked on that Apple system. Hey, all of the phones and the links that Steve talked about in his traveling tech segment will be linked on our show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/204. And of course, as always, the traveling tech section of the podcast is sponsored by Verizon, which operates America's most reliable wireless network. Survey after survey, year after year, multiple tests, they rank number one in quality, performance, and user satisfaction. Can your network say that? If not, it's time to get off that wrong network and head over to Verizon and enjoy the best.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path,
a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook.
Here's Mike.
All right, for our Off the Beaten Path report this week, let's go to our pals, roving correspondents off the beaten path, always, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hey, Jennifer and Mike. We've enjoyed an overnight and a visit with family in Bloomington, Indiana, and we're headed out of town. Bloomington, a bit south of Indianapolis, is home to Indiana University, and as college towns often do, boasts some great food and some unusual attractions. Not for us, though, as we had our GPS set for Evansville on the Ohio River. Passing through a nondescript residential area, we noticed a small sign that caused us to turn around and head down a side road.
A mile or two along, we turned in at the entrance to the Tibetan-Mongolian Buddhist Cultural Center. The first thing we encountered along the drive was a stupa. We, of course, didn't know what that was until we'd looked at a map and read a description. On the grounds, there are two of these brilliant white structures roofed in gold. One contains a beautiful Buddhist sand art mandala protected under glass.
Another building houses a set of Tibetan prayer wheels, cast bronze cylinders mounted on rods which allow them to rotate at a touch. Practitioners walk along one side of this row and down the other, spinning each wheel and making a prayer. Across a lawn is the monastery, where we found the saffron-clad monks and a number of guests attending a study group led from an iPad by a leader who was being Skyped in from far away. A monk was stationed just inside the door to greet visitors. "Feel free to go on in," he said, noticing that we were reticent because of our late arrival. "The wisdom isn't only at the beginning of the lesson."
Walking down the road, we came to the Happy Yak Gift Shop and Cultural Museum. The museum was mostly an illustrated history covering three walls of a large meeting room, but there was an impressive library covering one wall and a large display of intricate butter art. These works, traditionally made from yak butter mixed with flour, have a limited lifespan. Like the sand mandalas, the spiritual value is in the creation, not the viewing.
In the gift shop, I purchased a colorful woven cord to use for a fan pole at home. As I left the shop, I was engaged in conversation by a monk who eventually asked if he could hold the cord. He closed his eyes and after a few moments handed it back. "I've prayed that the room in which this hangs should be full of enlightenment and harmony," he told me. That certainly seemed the vibe of this beautiful, colorful, peaceful place. Opened in 1979 by a retired Indiana University professor, it aims to promote understanding of this faraway, exotic culture.
It's become nearly a truism of our travels. See a sign, spend half a day doing something you never expected to do. We encourage you to include enough time in your schedule to allow for surprises. A plan is good. Sometimes a busted plan is even better. We're Patty and Tom Burkett, and we'll look for you out here, down a side road, off the beaten path.
and in an echo chamber this week, it sounds like. Well, thank you, Tom and Patty. We had the opportunity to spend a couple of days with Tom and Patty last week up at Algonquin Provincial Park in Canada, and just, as always, enjoyed catching up with those guys. They are on the road all the time, finding these awesome places. Off the Beaten Path is brought to you this week by SunshineStateRVs.com, where every new or used motorhome is delivered to the customer free anywhere in the country. At Sunshine State RVs, you will find a huge selection of some of the best condition used Class Bs in all of North America. Now, if you are looking for a used Class B, and they're very hard to find, you need to either make a trip to sunny Gainesville, Florida. That's where Sunshine State RVs are located. Or go to their website, sunshinestatervs.com. They have a huge inventory, ranging from early 1900s to the current year and everything in between. They carry used RVs from all of the most popular brands like Road Trek, Pleasure Way, Winnebago, Leisure Travel, and more. You will not find a wider selection of used Class Bs anywhere else. They also sell new Class Bs from Road Trek, from Hymer, from Coachman, from Chinook, and other brands. They have brand new, sparkling, clean, never-been-on-the-road RVs from the Class B category. You need to check them out, too. They're all, you can look at them all on their SunshineStateRVs.com website. Why buy from them? Well, Jennifer and I have been there twice now. We've actually seen how they work. And what impresses us is they put every vehicle they sell through a thorough 172-point inspection. They make sure that all of the mechanical and manual systems are in top condition. Every RV is road tested to make sure it runs and drives the way that it should. They go over the interior components just as entirely as they do the outside, and every component is turned on and tested to make sure it works. All of their used RVs thoroughly cleaned and detailed inside and out, and they even check the roof for cracks, and they replace any silicone. So check it out if you're in the market. SunshineStateRVs.com. Free delivery if you buy from them. And just a great price. Be sure and tell them you heard about them on the RV podcast.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, we are now officially in the fall RV show season, and the big one at Hershey last week sort of kicked it all off, and now there are at least four I want to tell you about that are coming up over the next 2 weeks, and we should have a steady diet of them right on through now, the Christmas season. So let's start with September 21st to the 23rd. It's the Indianapolis Fall Boat and RV Show at the Indiana State Fairgrounds in Indianapolis, Indiana. That's the 21st through the 23rd. September 28th through the 30th, it's the Austin RV Super Sale at Del Diamond in Round Rock, Texas. September 28th through the 30th, it's the Washington State Evergreen Fall RV Show at Evergreen State Fairgrounds in Monroe, Washington. And on September 28th and the 30th, through the 30th, it's the New York State Recreational Vehicle Show at the New York State Fairgrounds in Syracuse. Coming up, and I don't have the dates in the show notes, I'm not going to put them up, but just so you're aware, the big California RV show is coming up in very early October. Jennifer and I will be there the weekend of the 5th and the 6th. That's in Pomona. That's kind of another show on the scale of Hershey. It lasts a week and a half. It's a long-lasting show. And we've wanted to get out there for many years. We'll be out there this year. We'll be doing some live stuff on our Facebook page from there, and we'll be doing videos. But that's coming up in early October for those of you on the West Coast. So that's the RV show schedule. Links to all those shows for more details, as always, and everything else we've talked about this on our show notes. And the show notes for this episode, roadtrekking.com/210.
Traveling and celebrating the RV lifestyle. This has been the RV Podcast with journalist Mike Wendland. Got a question for the next episode? Just click the send voicemail link on the RVpodcast.com blog. Till then, we'll see you out there, somewhere off the beaten path.
Wow, that was fast. So ends another episode of the RV Podcast. Remember, if as we say, if you want to have your voice heard, we'd love to hear your voices in there. We do answer email too from time to time, but it's really fun to have your voices and have you be a part of the podcast. Just use that voicemail message link. It's on the right hand. There's a little button there on roadtrekking.com. And then it'll come to us. You just kind of leave your message. You can record it over and over until you're happy with it, and then just send it along to us. Hey, invite you to subscribe to the podcast in your favorite podcast app through iTunes or Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, Google Play, whatever the app you have. We're on all of them. Please subscribe. You can also check us out on the blog, roadtrekking.com. There's the podcast is available right there as well. New episodes of the podcast are released every Wednesday. Haven't missed a week in 204 Wednesdays now. Hey, we want you to make sure you know about our mailing list. You know that we send out a special newsletter, and often with very special discounts and special perks that we offer to our RV lifestyle community. You can get that free by signing up on our website. Just go to roadtrekking.com. Scroll down. It's on the right-hand side, a little form you can fill in to get on the newsletter. All right, don't forget our YouTube channel, loaded with helpful videos on the RV lifestyle. Tomorrow, a big video coming out on the Hershey RV Show. Thanks so much for watching. On behalf of my wife, Jennifer, and our dog, Bo, I'm Mike Wendland. We'll see you out there road trekking across North America. Happy trails, everyone.